Ramban Parshas Bereishis. And the Ramban begins Parshas Bereishis with a hakdama to the whole Torah. He has like a poetic hakdama and then a regular hakdama. In his poetic hakdama, he famously says that he's going to be quoting Rashi and also quoting the Ibn Ezra. And with Ibn Ezra, he'll be having a tochachas megula v'ava musutara, that openly fighting with him, but a hidden love. Which you see a lot. You know, there's quotes the Ibn Ezra a lot to argue with him, but you see he likes him. Sometimes the Ibn Ezra says sodos. You know, the Ramban clearly has a lot of respect for him, and of course Rashi. So he's often arguing with him, but it's through a hidden love. Okay, so the Ramban in his Hakdama to Bereishis says that the Torah, there's a machlokas about when the Torah was physically written down. Was it Megillah Nitna, or was completely given Chasuma, given as one thing? So if you understand, which sounds like the Ramban thinks is more Pasha Pshat, that it was Megillah Nitna, that means it was written at Har Sinai, up to a point, up to the building of the Mishkan, so let's say the first two Sfarim, where it was written at Har Sinai. And then the rest of the Torah was written at the last year of the 40 years, when it said Lakoach Sefer Torah Zeh. That's when he wrote the balance of it. The other version is that it's chasuma nitna. That means it was written out at the end when it said kisvu lachem esashirazos. That's when it was and the lakoach hasefer haTorah zeh on the same pasuk. It was physically written down at the end of the 40 years. And then he mentions why does the Torah not begin with what you would think by Yadaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, go. Because all of it was told to Moshe. I mean, that's for whatever pshat you learn. And when it was written, it was certainly all told to Moshe. Why doesn't it say Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemor and then start Bereishis Bara Elokim? So he says that it didn't want to be. Well, first of all, it wasn't going to be written like the other Nevi'im. Like many Nevi'im in Nach do start that way. And they talk about themselves, like Yecheskel, whatever. So the Torah wasn't meant to be written that way. Why is that? So the answer is that the Torah existed before Moshe. It wasn't God told to Moshe. There was a Torah before Moshe. No, the Torah came before the world. It was written Ish Lavana, right? Ish Chara al Gabe Ish Lavana. So the Torah existed before the world existed, in a different format, perhaps, but it existed. So it wasn't going to be written like a Nevuah that only happened later, because it existed beforehand. And as the Ramban explains, that the Torah can be read in many different ways. And he mentions that you could read the whole Torah as one long Shemos of Hashem. Like if the letters are rearranged, they can all be written as Shemos of Hashem, which he says is what that Ish Chara Gabi Levan is. It could be written all of Shemos of Shalakadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not just Hashem speaking to Moshe. Dvarim obviously is the exception. Dvarim is where Moshe says, this is what I said. So that's written with that type of way. But the first four Svarim are not written like that, because to let you know that the Torah is before Moshe and before the world existed, and he's just like writing down what he was told. Okay. There's also, he says that all of Chachma, all of wisdom is included in the Torah, hidden, hinted to, gematrias, tagin, things like that. It's all hidden in the Torah. And it says that he mentioned there were 50, well, most of us are familiar, that there were 50 Shari Bina, and 49 were given to Moshe and one was not. So the Ramban explains that there was really 49 created, like 49 Shari Bina relevant to the created world, and one is for Hashem. But Moshe was given all of the Chachma for the created world. And he says we have many remuzim to this 49. We have 49 days of the Omer and 49 years in the Shemitah cycle. And the 50th one is not, 50th Shari Bina is not of this world, is not a Nivra. So if you knew different Shari Binas, you would know things that nobody else knows. You know the sources of where things come from. And he says you'd be able to, if someone stole, you could tell. If someone did an Avera, you could tell. It depends on all the different sha'arim that you know. You knowing, it would let you know these things. Anyway, all this is hinted to in the Torah in different ways. And like we said, gematrias, or the way the oaths are shaped, or whatever. You know, things we don't know. But there's different, they're hidden in the Torah in different ways. Some of them he just kind of explains, like when there's a difference, when things are supposed to be one way and the Torah changes it, that's where you can see some of the hints. But regardless, you're not going to figure out anything without some kind of Masorah. And Shlomo HaMelech also, when it says Hashem give him wisdom, it was all from the Torah. Okay, let's begin the parsha itself. So, Rashi says that the Torah should have really started from the mitzvos, HaChodesh HaZelachem. So why did bother telling us the story of creation? Because Koach Maisav Higid Lamo, so that if the Goyim would come and say, you guys are thieves, you stole Eretz Yisrael from the people who are living there, meaning the seven nations that used to live there, you guys are thieves. So Hashem will say, the whole world, but we'll be able to say rather to them, from knowing in the Torah that Hashem created the whole world, and Hashem can give things to whoever he wants to give things to, because it's all his. Okay, so the Ramban says, what are you talking about? How do you not have that Hashem created the world? Isn't that like the Shorash of Aramuna? What do you mean you're just going to skip that? How could that be? So the Ramban says, because what it means is, of course, we needed to know that Hashem created the world, but that would have been from the Aseres Hadibros, say, Ki Sheshes Yamim Asa Hashem Asa Shemayim Asarets, and that's all we had to hear. What do we need the whole long Parshas Bereishis for? So he explains, because when you hear the whole story of Hashem creating the world and putting Adam and Gan Eden and all that, so you see that Hashem made everything, and you see that when someone sins, they get kicked out, like what happened to Adam and Chava. Hashem made them, he gave them a mitzvah, they sinned, they got kicked out. Hashem made the rest of humanity, they sinned, came the Dor HaMabul, they get wiped out. Dor HaFlaga, same thing. That's what that Medrash is referring to. You see from this story of Maisa Bereishis, all of it, the whole long story was necessary to show you all those stories, and then you get the idea that Hashem created the world, and when people don't follow his Ratzon, they get kicked out. And the same thing with the Shivas Amamin. They sinned, Hashem kicked them out. Hashem could give the world to whatever he wants to based on who does Aviras and who does Mitzvos, and that's why they got kicked out. Okay, then we have the next famous Rashi, Bereishis Bara Elokim. Rashi says, Hina Mikra Hazeh Omer El Darsheni, and it's Bishvil HaTorah Shenikra Rashis, and Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Rashis. The Ramban mentions that many like to, I guess, make fun almost of this Medrash, that there's so many things called Rashis. Everything's called Rashis. In fact, there's another Medrash that says, Bishchas Chala, Bishchas Pikurim. So the Ramban says these are all hinting to Sodos, and that the world was created with Eser Sphiros, and that's the Eser Maimaros, that's the world was created Eser Sphiros, and Bereishis is a hint to Chachma, and really the Sphere of Chachma, and all these Midrashim are really saying the same thing. Obviously I don't understand Sod, so I'm just pointing it out, that these things, and we find a lot of these Midrashim, it's an important, this Ramban, that a lot of them are al-pisod, that can't be understood. In general, we know many Midrashim, and it's going to be in this Parsha plenty of times, that there are things that cannot be understood on their Parsha level, and they're all al-pikabal, al-pisod. And this is some remez to the world being created from Rishis, which is Chachma of the first of the ten spheros. Okay, now here is probably the most famous or important, I don't know which, or maybe both, of the whole Sefer, the whole Parshas Bereishis, the Ramban's theory about how the world was created. So he says, the first pasuk says, Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim es haaretz. That's the only Bria. The word Bria, to be borei, is from absolute nothingness to something, and that happened in pasuk 1. And there was this thing created that encompassed, he calls the Hiyuli, this thing that was raw matter, not yet really formed, was created in the Pasuk Bereishis Bara Elokim es hashamayim es haaretz. Hashem created from absolute nothingness some matter that could later be formed into the world we know today. But it was created, this matter, I don't know, that was later formed into what happened on the 6 days of creation. But that was all, everything that happened other than this Bara Elokim es hashamayim es haaretz was all taking what existed and reforming it, rechanging it, you know, but the actual creation from nothingness to something happened on Bereishis Bara Elokim es hashamayim es haaretz, and from there, all the other things became formed. So at the beginning, he says that there are two things for him. It sounds like something called Shemayim and something called Aretz, two different Hiyulis. Later, it sounds like he thought it was really one, whatever exactly it is. It was, let's say, one creation. That was later expanded, formed, shaped, whatever, into the world we know today. I am no scientist, but to me it sounds similar to what the scientists call the Big Bang type theory, where there's something created and then it blows up. So I don't know if anything blew up, but it was nothing, and then something was created, and from there everything got formed from there. And who's Elohim? That's Baal HaKochos Kulam, which the Ramban explains as Kael Haim, the master of them, all of Kochos, that's Elohim. Okay, so he created Shemayim and Aretz. So Aretz, he explains, includes the four Yesodos, Esh, Mayim, Ofer, and Avir. So that there was the earth, like the earth's core, that's earth. Then on top of that is Mayim. And then there's air, Ruach. And then there's the sky is Esh. And he explains because the night sky is black, because fire is really transparent. We only see fire when you see a red fire. It's only because of, which is true. I'm no scientist again, but fire, you see the red and whatever, that's because of like particles in there. But Batsum, fire is not seeable. And he says that the sky is really fire. Again, I know nothing about science. I just know the closest thing to that I could relate to, that is when things come into our atmosphere, they burn up. Maybe that has to do with something, fire in the sky. I don't know. Anyway, but whatever. That's what he suggests is Aretz has those four Yesodos in it, in the word Aretz. So the word Tohu Vavohu is this. Tohu is that Hiyuli, that unformed stuff, just the existence of matter that can be formed. And Bohu is when it gets formed somewhat. And again, in that next pasuk, you have the four Yesodos, Aretz, Choshech, which is supposed to be Esh, Mayim, and the Ruach Elokim. Okay, then we have V'yom Elokim Yihior, V'yihior. And the Or becomes day and night. Okay, so the Ramban just says that this is an important part, that Hayomim Hanizkarim B'Maisa Bereishis, the days mentioned in Maisa Bereishis, were B'Briyas Hashemayim V'Aretz Yomim Mamish. These were actual days. Michubarim Mishozer Agayim. Minutes, seconds, there was time. So time was created. Once something is created, time is Shayach. Time was created, and they were made up of, the 6 days were made up of minutes and seconds. So 6 real days. So that just means, so how do you have, when there's light but no sun, what do you mean there's day and there's night? It means it was the amount of day and the amount of night. That is, the light was sholeit for 12 hours, and the darkness was sholeit for 12 hours. I'm going to explain, you'll see soon, that Hashem was moving the light around. It wasn't just light and darkness, a big whatever. There were times when each one was sholeit and they were not, and when it was not. But we'll get back to that when we get to the creating of the sun and the moon and all that. Okay, so next it says, and it was Vahir Vayivoker Yom Echad. And everyone, why doesn't it say Yom Rishon? Looks like the other day, Sheni Shlishi. So the Ramban says, because at this point there was no second. This was the day. There was no second yet, so therefore you say Yom Echad. Okay. He also mentions, I think if I'm understanding this correctly, that the fact that it says that there was Ve'yikra Elokim La'or Yom V'Lachoshech Kara Laila V'Hir V'Yivoker Yom Echad, that there was evening and there was morning. That is, that there's always morning and evening, meaning because the sun and the moon are always, at least in our world, the sun and the moon are always, you know, the earth's moving. So it's always morning somewhere and it's always night somewhere as the earth turns around its axis. He says that's a remnant to it, that there's always Erev and there's always Boker. And that would be a hint to the future when there would be a sun and the moon. Okay, and then it talks about that there should be a Rekia splitting between the Mayim. The Ramban just says, don't expect me to explain this to you. This stuff is Sisrei Torah. Okay. What this separating of the upper waters and the lower waters, that there'll be a Rekia between the waters, he says, it's Sisrei Torah. I can't explain it to you. Okay. Meanwhile, he does explain the following, that he says that Shemayim is mentioned a whole bunch of times because there's a lot of Shemayims. The Shemayim of Pasuk Aleph, he says, Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim V'Ha'aretz, that Shemayim is talking about the celestial worlds, meaning there's only Hashem before the creation. Then Hashem created Malachim and that the upper worlds, the non-physical worlds. That's Shemayim of Pasuk Aleph. And then this Shemayim of Pasuk, whatever, Vav, Zion, that there's, it's the Mavdil, the Mayim is being, is, sorry, there's a Rekia Mavdil being Mayim Mayim. This other Shemayim, it's called Rekia HaShemayim, that's another kind of Shemayim. So basically, there's three levels of Shemayim. There's the non-physical Shemayim. There's the Shemayim that's, I guess, more or less what we would call outer space. And then there's the regular Shemayim, the sky. We would call the sky. Maybe the sky includes a little bit more. Maybe it includes our solar system or the planets we see. As opposed to outer space. That's Rekia. That's far out. That's a different Shemayim. That's, I think what he was saying is Rekia Shemayim. But he says it's hinted to in the Halukas that we say every day. So we say, Halluhu Shemesh Ve'Reach, Halluhu Kol Koch Ve'Or, the sun, the moon, the stars, Halluhu Shemei HaShemayim, Va'amayim Asher Mi'al HaShemayim. So there's a Shemei HaShemayim, and then there's Shemayim. And then at the beginning of that mizmor, it says, Halluhu Hashem Min HaShemayim, Halluhu Ba'Meromim, Halluhu Chol Malachov. So you see there's different heavens. In that mizmor that we say, the first bright of it is, Halluhu Hashem Min HaShemayim, Halluhu Ba'Meromim, Halluhu Chol Malachov. That's the Shemayim of Pasuk Aleph, of the celestial Shemayim. Then there's Shemesh, Yireach Kol Koch Ve'Or, there's the Shemei HaShemayim, which are on top of the Shemayim. So again, I'm not exactly clear where Shemayim ends and Shemei Shemayim ends. Shemei Shemayim sounds like it's like the Rekia Shemayim, the outer space. And Shemayim maybe is just the sky, maybe it includes the sun and the earth, our solar system. There are three different levels of Shemayim. Spiritual, and within the physical, there is the sky and the upper sky. Okay, so now in earth, there was water and earth mixed together. When Hashem separated everything, so we had Yabasha, which is dried out earth. It was separated the water from it. It was Tahom beforehand, which is a mix of water and dirt, and now it became just dirt. That's on the third day where the earth was separated. That's Yabasha, where it dried off. And the Mikveh HaMayim Kara Yamim. And to where the water was gathered, meaning where it wasn't earth, it was water, so that was called Yamim. And he actually says this is interesting, that the earth of the ocean floor, this is called Yam. And like the Pasuk says, Kamayim la Yam mechasim, like water that covers the Yam, because the Yam is the floor, and the Mayim calls it covers the Yam. And it says like the Yam Shel Shlomo, which was a big basin. So the floor of it is actually called the Yam, which is we associate it with the ocean because it means the Yam that's covered with water. Okay, then it mentions all the vegetation that grows. And it doesn't mention, he says, you have the Eitz Osepri, but it doesn't say the Eitz not Osepri. Why doesn't it mention like the cedar trees that don't have fruit? So Ramban says there was no such thing. When the world was created, everything gave fruit. Ilan Esrak gave fruit. Just after the curse of Adam, Arura Hadama, then there was such a thing as a Ilan Esrak, which is interesting because I think it says in the future, Mashiach comes, there'll be Ilan Esrak will give fruit. Anyway, but it used to be that they did, and they stopped after Klalas Adam Arishon. Okay, now, once we create the Ma'oros, so the Ramban says that there was light, and it was around till the Ma'oros were created. And then, once Hashem created the Ma'oros, he made that light, what he says, not bisholet al hayesodos. The light went away. Now, was it the light that was hidden, like that kind of spiritual light that was hidden for tzaddikim? That's one chazal. But it also sounds like there was a physical light that went. His lashon is hifsik ba'or umana oso meha'ir ba'yesodos hatachtonim. So Either that means the light went away, or it means that it went out. It's possible that the light got pushed out, that it won't reach Earth. In fact, he mentions that later when it says that Hashem made the Ma'oros, V'hayula Ma'oros Birki HaShemayim L'Ha'ir Al Ha'aretz. The Ma'oros were the ones that were put in Shemayim L'Ha'ir Al Ha'aretz, to give light to the earth. So perhaps that light went where it could not be, Meir Al Ha'aretz. You know, there's in science, there's, you know, stars all the way out there that their light can't reach here. So perhaps that's the light that, I don't know, I'm just conjecturing over here. But there was light coming from somewhere that was Meir on our earth, and then on day three, it stopped being Meir on our earth, so it went far out. Hashem didn't stop the light, just said he was mana it from coming on the Sodos, Yesodos. Okay, so it may mean that it didn't work on this earth, or maybe it went further out. Anyway, who knows? But it stopped working, and then Hashem, the sun and the moon, those were the ones that were Meir on our earth, and they're the ones that are Sholeit. That is, the sun, the moon, they have properties that let them rule over this earth. And we know this thing called astrology, and even not astrology, there's, in the physical world, the moon does change the tide. You know, they affect things on this earth. And there's a spiritual level to that, where there's a more spiritual level. We have like astrology, if the Rabban understanding is that is real, and it affects things down here. And then it all comes from a malach, you know, a higher power, a spiritual power that's affecting these things, that channels the some kind of shefa power through those stars down to our earth. But again, even on a very physical level, the moon, for example, has some shlita on this earth, and that it changes the tide. So it says that in the pasuk that they were the memshalas. They both had a memshala in the day or the night to control things. Okay, then we have it says vayivra elokim. It's a later day that Hashem created when talking about the fish and the ofiofi fala aretz. This is on the fifth day. And it also says Hashem made the big snakes, the taninim hagadolim. So the Ramban makes this fascinating horror that it does not say by the big snakes, vahichein. And perhaps that's because they became extinct. Like if the big snakes refer to the Vyasin and Bazugos, so then Hashem killed the Nekeva and Molchel et Tzadikim Lasalavo. But it's just pointing out that because this is my own, again, just throwing in my personal theory here. This is not the Ramban. This is me. Just wondered if you ever want to know, you know, where the dinosaurs came from. A good way of describing them would be the big snakes. Now, this, of course, says it came from the sea, but also says birds come from the sea. It doesn't mean they live in the sea. It means Hashem created them from the sea. So certainly they could have been created from the sea as much as a bird was created from the sea, especially if they were reptilian. In fact, the Gemara in Chulin says birds are somewhat from the sea because of their legs look like they have scales on them. So do reptiles. Regardless, anyway, they could be made from the sea. This could be the Tanini Megadolim that was referred to, and the Ramban says it does not say Vahichein because whatever these Tanini Megadolim were, they became extinct. Okay, moving right along. We have the creation of man on the sixth day. It says, Naase Adam. What does that mean? Let us make man. So the Ramban's pshat is, it's the Aretz and Hashem, meaning man was created from the land and from God's soul, you know, like the Nesham that God put in him. A spiritual thing. So that's Naase Adam, the earth, and Hashem, so to speak, help make man. Obviously, Hashem, you know, the Adama can't make man, but it means it was brought from Hashem and from the earth and from Hashem, the body and the neshama. So it's just a way of talking. Hashem saying, me and the earth will make man. Okay. Now, the Ramban says something very interesting here. I don't want to say the wrong pshat, so you can look it up yourself on the Pasuk V'yirdu Bidgas Hayam, which is Pasuk Chavav. The Ramban says that all of animals, including man, were created with one mimer. And then when Adam got his humanity, which is the neshama that gives the person their rational thought, that makes them a human and not an animal, so that was the special mimer you know, that Hashem be'ivrei l'kim es adam b'tzalmo. So does that mean there was a time? Because it sounds like they were all created from the same maimer, including Adam, before he got his neshama. Does that mean there was ever an Adam walking around without a neshama, like an Adam walking around like an animal, and then Hashem gave him a neshama, or is this all simultaneously just different maimarim? You know, so I'm not sure. That's just an interesting thing to take a look at, see what you think. Now, Adam was not allowed to just eat anything. He could eat only the vegetation. He could not eat animals. Why not? Because Baali HaNefesh, which is animals, they have they're a higher soul than a plant. Plant just has the soul that makes it grow. It does not have a soul to make it choose. An animal can choose. It doesn't choose like a human, right from wrong, but it chooses to run away from something painful, and it chooses to protect itself. You know, it can move around. It has some kind of level of choice, so it's a higher level. Its neshama is higher. It's nefesh. So we can't eat the nefesh. So that's why he says Eiver Min HaChai is forbidden, Min HaTorah, and so is the blood. Because we're not supposed to get, we're not allowed, we never become able to eat their soul. Before, when Adam was created, they couldn't eat, Adam couldn't eat the animal in any way, shape, or form. After the destruction of the world, and the world was only saved because of Noach, so then, after Noach, they were allowed to eat animals, but never the soul. Because that's its Mila. And he says this fascinating thing, that this is the reason for Shechita, and this is the reason, this is what is said, Tzar Bali Chaim Daraisa. And that's the Kavana in the Bracha, Asher Kedushanu Mitzvah Mitzvahnu Ala Shechita. Okay, so that is not so clear what exactly he means. To say the reason for Shechita is that we can't, we don't have a heter for the animal soul, so we have to Shecht. Okay, that's understandable. That which it says that Tzar Baal HaChayim is Daraisa, I would have thought it sounded like that since that's their higher level, that they have pain and they have more brains, and so we're not allowed to cause that because the animal is on a higher level and the animal nefesh is on a higher level. And that's the bracha of Baal HaShechita, because we're not allowed, not that we're commanded to shecht, but we're commanded to not have their soul, so it has to be shechted. That's what I would have thought it meant. But I see here... and the article brings from the Chassam Sofer that he said that the bracha of Ala Shechita is saying we're not allowed to do Tzar Baal HaChayim. Like, that's what this bracha refers to. Okay, it's close to what I said, but different. I did not look it up inside. Okay, then we have Shabbos, and Hashem says, Vayikadosh Oso. So he brings the Ibn Ezra that says that the it's Nischadosh. Begufos Yisron Koach Batolados. The bracha vayivarech vayakadish is that the body becomes stronger and the neshama gets extra seichel. So, and that's the bracha in the Kiddush. And the Ramban, I'm just mentioning this because Ramban says that's good if you have emuna, that's what, you know, but you can't feel it. It's not like you're going to feel like your brain is smarter on Shabbos or that your body will necessarily be stronger. Rather, he just says something, Alpi Kabbalah. I just want to mention him according to that Ibn Ezra. But he also says something very important about these 6 days and the seventh day resting. He says it's also a hint to the existence of the world. That's going to be one day equals 1,000 years. And that's also the way the whole world will exist forever, is a remez in these 6 days and the seventh day of rest, that there'll be 6,000 years of the world's existence and the 7,000th year of Olam Haba. And he said the first 1,000 years was nothing. The light was just Adam, who was Makir as Boro. And then the Yom Sheni was Mavdil, that Noach became Muvdal from the Rishayim. On the third day, the 3,000th year approximately, that means it begins, the year 2001 is the 3,000th. The 3,000 years, I guess that's the way to put it, the 3,000 years starts in the year 2001, but he says it really starts Bein Hashmashos. So that's when Avram was born, 1948, and he was Makir's Baro 48 years later, whatever that is, 1948 plus 48. So 1996. So in that year started the third year when Avram recognized Hashem. that's when the world started having payros. As more people came over to serve Hashem. Then on the fourth day were the Maoros, and that is talking about when the Bayis, Beis HaMikdash, was built, and it goes all the way till after the Bayis, 172 years after the Bayis. So that's when there was light. And then on the fifth day, there was Nefesh Chayav Ofio Feifel Aretz. That's after Churban HaBayis, when the nations rule the world. And then the sixth year is when to say Nefesh Chayav Mina Behema Beremetz Chayis Aretz Lamina. And man eventually gets created. And from the time that Neitzachama is, that's when Mashiach will come. So that's Neitzachama is from dawn of the of that millennia, the sixth millennia, which is the year 1240, which is when it starts the sixth millennia. So Neitzachama after that would be 1/10 of the day is Neitzachama later. That would be about 100 years later, approximately the year 1240, give or take 20 years, 1340 rather, give or take. And many quote this year, that that's the year Mashiach is supposed to come, the year 1340-ish, maybe 1358. Somewhere in that neighborhood is when the Ramban predicts Mashiach would come. Unfortunately, obviously, we know it did not. So the Ramban ends off, and of course, the seventh year is the year of Mashiach, and he ends off, HaKel Yishmeinu B'chal Hayom HaMiyasim Chalkinu Em Avadim HaTamimim. You should put us with the Tamimim, and that is, of course, a remez to meaning you have to be Tamimim Hashem Lekecha. We don't know this, and the Rabban says elsewhere, he was, you know, just, that's what he thinks it should come then, but we're Tamim with Hashem, we don't really know, and the Rabban says elsewhere that he's, you know, he's not a Navi, he doesn't know, that's just when he understood it should come. Okay, the Rabban also mentions man was created either one soul encompassing three parts, or, like he sounds like he thinks, Lamai says there are three souls. Again, there's the different parts, the parts that makes it grow, the parts that makes it walk and talk, and the walk, and then the part that makes it talk. I think that's what we know as Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. I mean, it's different nefashos, doing different things. And again, at the end of that pasuk where he says that, also sounds also like there was a part where the last nefesh came in and became a different, after, and the pasuk Beipach Bapa Nishmas Chaim, the end of there also, he says, "Shechazer kulo nefesh chayev nepach lishacher." Like he, once he got his nefesh hamasakeh, the one that talks, the one that makes him human, he became a different thing. Was there a tekufa in between? Again, it's not clear. It's the same. Okay. Then it says, "Vita Hashem lakim gan beeden." Hashem made a gan eden. So the Ramban lets us know that this gan. What does it mean that there was? It was loved the Lashamra. How do you work a gan that's forever there, even after Adam gets kicked out? So there was a trees that doesn't need to be worked, and then Adam also planted other stuff that could get worked and harvested. But the gan itself had some trees and things that didn't need, would stay forever. Because, yeah, Gan Eden especially lets us know Gan Eden is a real physical place. There's just also a spiritual version of Gan Eden, but there's also a physical version. I believe that is at odds. I think the Rambam holds that there was no physical Gan Eden. Anyway, the Ramban is clear that there was a physical Gan Eden. Besides, there's a spiritual Gan Eden. It just mentions, Agav, about Karbonos, that Karbonos give strength to the Kochos Elyonim, which in turn give Koach to the Tachtonim. It's almost like that's how it works. He mentions many times, or at least several times throughout Chumash, that the Karbonos were not like the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim says that they were a reaction to Goyim doing Avodah Zarah and Hashem wanting to train us to do things to him. But rather, there's a purpose of Karbanos. Like when Adam, when Cain and Hevel brought Karbanos were, there's a purpose to it that has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. Again, this thing, whatever it does in Shemaim, it does things, gives strength to the Kochos Elyonim, which then gives strength to, on this earth and whatever it's. Something I'll pick up on. Okay, then we have the Eitz HaDa'as Tov V'Ra, which they are not supposed to eat. So he says that the Eitz HaDa'as Tov V'Ra was Molid Tavas HaMishkal. It created a desire for marital relations. That's what he says the Mefarshim say, but he does not agree. Rather, he says that before Adam ate from the Eitz HaDa'as, So he had no, he was kind of like, I guess what we'd call robotic, it almost seems like, didn't have independent, like, desires to do good or evil. He was just doing what's natural to the person. And like the sun and the moon, they shine because they do. It's not love or hate, it just does its thing. So it was called Eitz HaDas. He says it's like Eitz of Das refers to Ratzon, an Eitz of a desire. It created desires for everything, for good, for bad, for evil, desire. That's what it created. Again, also he quotes this, the Maimar Bar Zilai, that it was an inability, you ate because you ate, not because it tasted good. There was no Ratzon. That Eitz HaDas created Ratzon. So basically, so that was when Adam and Chava walked around not dressed, because they didn't have like desires for anything. They just did what was natural to them, just like animals walking. They didn't have a desire. They just did what was in their instinct or what was natural to them. Obviously, they could have done anything, but they didn't have that kind of desire. So now, when he eats the Eitz HaDa'as Tovara, and the Nachash said, through that you will be like Hashem, because in a certain sense it is like Hashem. Hashem has Bechira and Ratzon. Well, I should say it better that way. Hashem has Ratzon, so you'll be like Hashem that way. Not just some Teva. Because Hashem doesn't have Teva, obviously. You'll just... So in that way they were like Hashem, but it was bad for them, and that now they had a Yetzer for bad things too. Whereas they used to just naturally do the right thing. And he says, that's what it says. Asher asa helokim asa Adam yasher. Hashem made man yasher, naturally yasher. Pehima bikshu chishbonas rabim. But they wanted chishbonas rabim. They wanted this other way. Okay, so then Adam sins. So again, the understanding of how he sinned, especially if we just said he was naturally going to do good. But the bikshu chishbonas rabim, it was some, I think, one way or another, some from a cheshbon type thing. Whatever the reason was, it was a chait to eat from what Hashem said, don't eat from. And whatever cheshbon they had, Adam and Chava, to eat from it. So they did. And then it was Nigzer and Adam, Misa. So he just mentions Anshei HaTeva say that mankind, being physical, had to have died. Like, how could he have not have died? It's just he had to die sooner, or he died at that time. But Adam was never going to live forever. The Ramban doesn't think that's proof, and he says Hashem created the world, he could have made it that people live forever. And he said it could be the pairs of Gan Eden are like Mon, and they're Mekayimim, those who eat it, and they were, you know, so they could have lived forever had they not sinned. Okay, then it says Hashem, Adam called Shemos to everything, and he didn't find an Azer Kenegdo. So the Ramban explains that Adam couldn't have found an Azer amongst the animals, but Hashem, if he would have found one that he thought its Teva was good, Hashem could have made it that they could have, changed Adam that he could have procreated with some animal, but of course that was not for Adam, none of them were like him, and therefore Hashem had to make a new person called Chava. Okay, then we have a very fascinating thing. It says, Alkein yazov yishas aviv esimil v'davak b'ishto. A person should leave their father and mother and be davak to their wife. So he says that, the Ramban says that animals don't have that connection to their spouses. They don't have spouses like that. Rather, a zachal will be born on any nekeva it wants, doesn't have a spouse, and go. There's no marriage by animal in the animal kingdom. Which I believe Rashi and Noach doesn't sound like that. I think Rashi and Noach said that the animals did have specific, a cow was married to a specific other cow, you know what I mean? Like they did have spouses, so to speak. But anyway, the Ramban here says that that's not the case, that a Zachar and a Nekeva is just any Zachar is Ban, any Nekeva, and that's it, and they go. But Adam was different. Because Adam was Etzem Me'atzamav, it was taken from Adam, and they become very attached. And he wants to be with her constantly. to the level that they view themselves as Basar Echad. That's what it says, Yazov Sher Ove Ve'imo Ve'kirvasim. He'll leave his father and mother and their closeness, and he'll feel like his wife is more close to him than his own parents. Anyway, then when we're describing the Eitz HaDaas that it's not supposed to eat from, it says, Kitova Eitz L'machal, V'chita Avahu La'inayim, V'nechman Eitz L'haskid. Those are all, like the Ramban says, they would give the person these things, Tava, Chemda, those things didn't exist before you ate them. That's what they would cause, Ratzon. Okay, then it says, Hashem was Mishalech Began, which he explains to me there was a Gilu Shechina. Hashem doesn't walk. There was a Gilu Shechina. Hashem's presence was there. And then Hashem says to man, well, why'd you eat this? And man says, Aisha shenasati midihinas nali mina eitz va'ochel. As if to say, like, look, you created her. I thought everything she's doing is good, so I followed her advice. Then Hashem says to her, mazos asis. He doesn't say to her, why did you eat it? He says, what'd you do? So because she did, besides eating it, she also gave bad advice to Adam. So her response is, Hanacha shishiyani ve'ochel, because the real onus was on the achila. But you see here also that there's an avera in causing people to sin. That's what Rambam points out. Okay, so her punishment is that Elishech tshukasech v'hu yimshal bach. What does that mean? So the Ramban says it means that Elishech tshukasech is you'll want your husband, meaning you'll be happy to be pregnant and have kids, even though it's very painful to be pregnant and to have kids. You won't care, and it's also dangerous, especially in the olden days, very dangerous. You wouldn't care, it'd be worth it. And again, especially in former times, she was like a shifchatim. The man brought home the bacon, as they say, brought home the food, and she would be like a shifcha in the house. So he says, where do you ever find someone trying to be, please take me as a slave? Nobody wants that. But Hashem made the woman want that, to be married to a man and to do that. And so that was part of her kola. He says that she would want to have the man rule over her and want to be pregnant and have kids, because that would have Hashem put it in her nature to have the husband being the running of things and be okay with the Tsar Hirayan and Leda. That was part of her klala, which I guess before that, I mean, that didn't used to be her teva. And just the Ramban says about this whole story, that there are, there's a spiritual, like a Kabbalistic spiritual understanding of this whole story of the Eitz HaDaas Tov V'Ra. And there's a regular Pashupshat understanding of it. He said they're both true. What's not clear to me is if he means they're both always true. Like, are there parts that are basically for the Pashupshat and parts that are basically for Kabbalah, mixed in together? Because he asks some questions, and that's where he comes to his conclusion. Like, we don't find snakes that can talk. And if it used to be able to talk and now lost its ability to talk, like the Ibn Ezra says, how come that wasn't mentioned in the Klala? You will not speak anymore and all that. His response, the Ramban says, is rather there's gully and chosum here. There's things that are pashupshat and there are things that are hidden. So again, I'm not clear if that means there are certain things that are not pashupshat, as in it's purely metaphorical, and there are parts that are purely not metaphorical, or does it mean that both, every part has both true? Not so clear, at least not to me. Chava has a child named Cain. Why did she name him Cain? This is great. This is the first pasuk in Perek Dalet. Why does she call him Cain? Because Kanisi Ish Es Hashem, the Ramban says, because this child would be a kinyan for Hashem, that when they would die, this child would continue their avodas Hashem. Isn't that nice? That's why he was called Cain. Kanisi Ish Es Hashem, that he would continue, stand in their place as a kinyan Hashem to be Ovid Hashem. That's Kanishi Yisesh Hashem. Okay, then we have the fight between Cain and Hevel, and it says that Cain brought his carbon and Hashem gave him Musr, like the Psukim say, Halo Intetiv Seis, And then it says, "Vayomer Kayin el Hevel Achiv." So he brings the Ben Ezra and says, you know, it doesn't say what Kayin said to Hevel. The Ben Ezra said, he said over all the things that Hashem said to him and said, "You caused this to happen to me." The Ramban has a different shot, it just is going on. Biosim Baseda means Kayin told Hevel, "Let's go to the southern." Okay, and then he kills him. Okay, so Hashem then punishes Kayin, and Kayin says, "Gadol avoni minaso," meaning I'm going to get, if I have to be navinad, if I'm never going to be in one place, I can't build up like fortresses around me. Every animal, person sees me is going to kill me. So Hashem gave him an os. So the Ramban brings a medrash that Hashem gave him a dog to lead him on the right way, there he'll be protected. That was the os. So Ramban says that kelev is just Chazal talking in a negative way about him, but it wasn't literally early kelev. It was some kind of os that would tell him where to go so that he would not be attacked. Okay, then we have, it just talks about Tuval Kayin, and the wife of Tuval Kayin is Naama. So if Naama was Ishto Shel Noach, like in Bereishis Rabbah, it says Yeshomrim that it was Ishto Shel Noach. So then that means Kayin wasn't completely wiped out, and through Naama, it was a continuation of Kayin. Otherwise, Kayin's offspring were wiped out. And he brings it towards the end in Parakei, in Pasuk Beis, that from Rav Shri Ragon, that there was a chachma to be able to see people's faces and read the curvatures of their skin, like the indentations of the skin. I don't know if he means on the hand, like palm reading, or just the head, and be able to know things about people. And he says, the Ramban says, I don't have this chachma, but there was a chachma passed down like this. That was interesting to mention. Then about the length of people's years. So people in the time of Tana, of the beginning of Bereishis, obviously lived a very long time. So he says that, you know, the earth got worse as time went on, and after the Mabul, the air got worse, and then Dor HaFlug, everyone went all over the places. People's lives got shortened until the time of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You got that? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they were already 70 and 80 years. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov lived very long because they were super tzaddikim. Super tzaddikim, Hashem made nisim that they should live a long time. And by the way, we do see today, for whatever it's worth, a lot of the Gedolei Ador seem to live till 95. And not just recently, even going back, many of them lived very long. But not all, but many of them lived very long. Regardless, that's what he says by other people at the level of Rav Yitzchak and Yaakov. Hashem said something special that they lived so long. Okay, and then just at the end of the parasha, we have the Nephilim, Hayu Baretz. So he explains that this was Adam Rishon and maybe some of his kids, that they were like super strong and powerful. And they had kids that were like them. But then as people got worse, and then they started, they would originally only marry other people who were big and strong like them, but they started being with others who were of lesser strength, and that's how things got lowered down. Then you had the B'nai Elohim, B'nai Elohim, whatever, became Nephilim. So that's how the Nephilim happened. As B'nai Elohim would be with B'nos HaAdam, then they get Nephilim. But they were still Gibarim compared to everybody else. Okay, but then he says that famous medrash about, might refer to the Malachim Shnaflu from Shamayim. Okay, anyway, I think we'll stop here.